Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into a little bit of trade strategy here. As we enter into the offseason, trade's going to pick up. It's really time to think and hone in on some of your evaluations and work on some of your process, right? So thinking about what you're trying to do. One thing I'll say from the outset, and I've started to do this on some of my teams, I might be in a worse position than I might have otherwise thought I was going to be coming into the offseason. Retirements at quarterback, for example, hurting in a couple of leagues, what I expect might be retirements. I didn't really think Roethlisberger was going to retire. I'm suddenly spooked by it, right? So that's going to put me in a different strata. So I think ultimately in that league, for example, I'm going to need to address quarterback. How am I going to do that? Right. How am I going to super flex league? Got to figure out a way to do that. Right. So one of the things I'm thinking about doing at this point is I got to make some trades, probably open up some flexibility in terms of my roster, looking at different arbitrage opportunities. What is Zeke to David Montgomery, for example, something like that. What can I sort of add in that to create some roster flexibility to make a secondary trade, right? Thinking about that, thinking about what your ultimate goal is, how do I make it happen? Well, sometimes it isn't just a one for one trade that fixes a need and boom, you got it, right? Sometimes you need to do more things. So that's really one of the things that I think you need to look at. One of the things I'm talking about in the book is looking at strategies really looking at decisions in a 2 week, 2 month, 2 year window. So what do I mean by that? Well, there's a book called 10-10-10, and it's 10 months, it's 10 minutes, 10 months, 10 years is really what it is in terms of looking at your decisions. Basically, when you're thinking about a decision, go to 2 months or go to, 10 minutes from now or 10 months from now or 10 years from now, and then look back at the decision and think about what you did, right? And sort of put yourself in that different frame where instead of looking forward, you're looking back. And that's really, really appealing, right? And it sort of thinks, hey, what are the things I'm going to go, 10 years from now, what are the things I'm going to regret, right? Regret minimization, those sorts of things. So there's plenty of trades that those opportunities present themselves where you're taking sort of short-term pain for huge upside long-term. But even beyond that, it is a, right, just because you make a trade now doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stand pat, right? Just because you're making a trade now or a draft pick selection now, right, you don't need to start someone for another almost 8 months now, right? So there's still a lot of time, right? That's more the medium term. And that's really the thing that you need to think about now, right? It's more think about in that context, right? Think about, yes, you're thinking long term. Yes, you're thinking in draft, but really focus right now. If you have needs, if you have, say, hey, listen, I'm going to get crushed by some retirement problems, or I'm going to get, like, we're going to have a problem here, right? At quarterback, if you're invested in Breeze or Ben or Rivers or whatnot, we're going to have a problem. You don't need to fill that today. You don't need to fill it tomorrow. You don't need to fill it in your rookie draft. You might do any of those things, but it might be more of a process. It might be, hey, I need to, listen, I've got one, right? And maybe it's like I go into the season and I just got one and I'm playing some backups and we'll figure out the super flex spot and then you can buy low. Right? Maybe that's what the answer is. Maybe the answer is, hey, I need to sort of free up some rookie pick spots, just get myself some additional liquidity. I can move around the board, get up and get somebody, right? Maybe it's that I punt the season, right? Maybe it's that I'll take the short-term pain here and look towards 2022, something like that, right? You don't need to necessarily make those decisions now. Make good trades in the near term, with sort of an eye on, hey, how can I leverage this trade into something bigger, right? Call it the cascade trade when you trade for one piece who then turns into another piece and that turns into another piece, right? Thinking in sort of that context, you don't necessarily know in your right now what that next context is going to be, but opening yourself up to getting, arbitraging players, getting similar profiles, those sorts of things, and creating flexibility, that's pretty key right now. So thinking in those windows is really important. And then also your trade should reflect your strategy, right? And so many times you'll just see people, you know, it cracks me up. You'll get the drunk trade, or you'll get podcasts and stuff talking about, you know, was I drunk or sober when I made this trade? Like, that might be fun, but that's not successful process, right? And so successful process is be, you know, what's my strategy? You know, what am I trying to accomplish? Right? Am I trying to accomplish an arbitrage? Am I trying to accomplish a sell high on a player? You know, am I trying to accomplish an exit on an age thing? Am I trying to reset the clock? Am I trying to ultimately acquire a quarterback, right? All of those things, everything should be aimed towards that, right? And we might not necessarily know it's going to turn out, but it should be aimed at doing that, right? Thinking about how we ultimately get to that game, right? This isn't checkers, right, where we're doing one move at a time. It's chess, where we got to think 2, 3, 4 moves ahead in terms of, like, how do we transition, and we shore up one strength, or we create, you know, flexibility or roster room, whatever. And all right, now that can transition into something else. And then, okay, and that trade maybe can pivot into a different strength, or I can package up or whatnot, right? You're constantly trying to string things together. That's really the thing I think you need to look at. So thinking in terms of, you know, windows and strategies right now, looking at your team, and I think I talked about this in a prior podcast, and I really started doing this today, really looking at my teams and saying, one team in particular, and it doesn't need to be, and one of the things that this can be really tough with is that folks will look and say, oh, I've got, you know, 10, 12, 20, 50, 100 rosters. Like, this can be a little overwhelming. Do one at a time. And it might not even be one a day, right? Or it might not even be, you know, that you need to do, you know, them all in one sitting. But thinking about, hey, you know, I have, and some of your leagues right now, people aren't renewed, so it's tough to make trade offers because their privileges are locked, those sorts of things. Identify a league where mostly everyone's there and say, okay, like, and write it down. Say, listen, I've got a need here, maybe at running back 2, like, I got to get this better, like, maybe I overperformed win expectation, those sorts of things, and start looking at what you might, the ultimate picture might look like for 2021. Say, all right, here's the general 3-4 things that I might need to do to address this, right? Maybe I sell Miles Gaskin and sell him to get sort of out of that profile, get myself some flexibility, right? Maybe that's part one, right? And that can take place in a variety of options, right? And then, you know, the next one is, say, maybe, you know, I've got an overpriced guy. Maybe I got kind of a middling running back. I need to sort of move off of that, whether that's move down and get a player that I like that's cheaper and another player or another pick, or maybe that's to move up, right? Like, sort of identify that. And you can sort of, as you're doing this to-do list, right, 3-4 things per team, think about what are the different options that I can do to get this, right? And write it down, right, or type it out or take a voice memo, right, memorialize it. And that'll keep you accountable, and it will keep you much more focused on it, right? It'll keep you much more, what's the saying, when you really want to accomplish something, write it down, so that way you got to look at it, right? If you want to lose 20 pounds, write down that I want to lose 20 pounds by this date, and you're much more likely to do it because you've committed to doing it, you sort of thought about it, you're going to do it. And you are basically shaming yourself into doing it, right? Do those things with your teams. And that's not to say that plans can't change, but think, hey, here's 3-4 things that I really need to do. And I create this right in, I'm going to actually create it. I have a notebook. I'm going to create it in a notebook. But it can be in your Excel tracker, your Google Sheets tracker for your teams, or, you know, however you keep track of everything, right? Just keep different notes. And then, you know, and then do that for a team, send out some offers, think about it, you know, look where your rookie picks are, all of those things. And really think about that, right? So that's really one of the things, is your trade should ultimately reflect your strategy. And it might not necessarily be just a one-off trade. It might be, hey, here's the 3-4 long-term goals over the next 6-8 months that I need to do over that medium term, right? That 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years that I talked about, right? That's really the dynasty version of 10-10-10, is 2 weeks, 2 months, and 2 years. Thinking about those things, and thinking about really the 2 month is the medium term. So that's the, you know, it's really this off season. Thinking about, you know, how do we sort of position ourselves better, right, now's the time to sort of think about that. And that should also reflect, you know, you got to balance long term and short term in that as well, right? But that's really the thing I think you need to look at. So that's one thing. And then another thing that I'm writing about, so I'll talk about a little bit here in the process of sort of finishing up this trade, or this trade chapter for the book. Hopefully I will finish it this weekend, and aiming for a late it will be released late January, but depending on the specific date, it'll depend on actually when I specifically finish. I think I mentioned this in a prior podcast. I can't hold on to it long. So once I get it done in like a weekend, it usually goes the next weekend. It usually ends up being the second to last or the last weekend in January. But one of the things, and I had this, and I writing about trades and analytics of Dynasty books has been incredibly difficult for me, primarily because it becomes very narrative, or you're just sort of telling stories, and it's not something I think is like the greatest, you know, the war story anecdote thing isn't necessarily the greatest thing, but thinking in themes, it's taken me basically 3 years to write a trade chapter. And I'm not even sure I'm going to include it as I sort of sit here right now. I don't know. It's tough. I'm never feel super good about writing about trades, but one of the things that I have in the draft form, whether it makes it or not, you're getting a behind the scenes view of it. I'll never forget this day. I went to the mall and I was just getting out of the house. I needed some Wi-Fi, and the mall had like a cafe that I could go to and like sit outside of and use their Wi-Fi. So I went there and I was like, all right, I'm just going to dynasty trade for a couple hours. And this would have been 2018 season, and I had fallen out of contention in a league that, 2019 off season, or 2019. It was like right around Thanksgiving time, just before the trade deadline. And I was just making some trades and was going to just try and churn out some trades. And I think I was actually in the process of writing last year's edition of the Analytics of Dynasty at the time. And I just started sending trade offers in a couple of different leagues I was like not contending in, or I was sort of on the fence. I wanted to try and reset the clock, sort of reshape my roster a little bit. So one of the first trade that I sort of include in the story is I offered Julian Edelman in a second round rookie pick to a fellow owner for Devin Singletary in a first. And the trade made a lot of sense because I had, you know, I had fallen out of contention. I don't know if I was exactly out of the playoffs at that point, but I was like either pretty close to, or was not going to be in the playoffs. And, Edelman wasn't really going to help me. It was sort of a near term. He was sort of a near term asset. And, you know, Singletary, I thought, hadn't really broken out yet. It still really hasn't broken out as I sit here now recording. But I thought, like, hey, he's got kind of a wider range of outcomes long term. But I thought that Edelman was going to be more valuable in a trade than Singletary was. At the time, Edelman was just, he was like a wide receiver 6 on the season. And Singletary was kind of like, this might have been when Singletary was actually hurt, if memory serves. But anyways, my second round pick that I was offering was going to be early in the round, and this was a playoff team. Yeah, I was sort of betting, hey, maybe they're kind of not that good of a playoff team, and I can sort of get, you know, 107, 108, something like that. But if he was sort of overconfident, he's thinking it's 110, 111, 112, and, you know, he's looking at my pick, and it's like 203, and it's not really that much of a move. So that was really the rationale for it. And so I made the trade, and I got a near immediate rejection, like minutes. And the person said, quote, "Do you honestly think me trading away a first round pick in Devin Singletary for a 31-year-old receiver and a second round rookie pick is a good idea for me?" And like very accusatory. And it was kind of like, you know, would you do this trade? And, you know, I just was kind of like, uh-oh. I guess not, right? I mean, I guess that doesn't make sense for you. I didn't know, but I guess it doesn't make sense for you now that you put it that way. And just the unproductive and accusatory nature of it was just super, shooting yourself in the foot in terms of him as a trader, right? Doing that just doesn't help, right? It just doesn't help. So later that day, sort of unprompted, I actually received an offer from a team, and at the time he was in last place as a one quarterback league. And the way the roster, the way the playoffs were constructed, he was basically locked in to be in a top three pick. Pretty good chance of being 101. I think it was like potential points or like a toilet bowl or something that determined it. But either way, he was going to be a really high rookie, really high first round rookie pick. And so his offer was Kirk Cousins and a fourth round rookie pick. To me, again, this is a start one league. For Joe Mixon, a second round rookie pick and a third round rookie pick. Now, at the time, Mixon was like good, not great. Again, he sort of finished out as I think like right running back 10, 12, something like that. So again, not elite, and we've sort of gone full circle on some of the Mixon stuff. Don't necessarily need to rehash that. But a second and a third round rookie pick, right? It made, both of those were early in the round. Like, it made absolutely zero sense to me. Zero sense, right? There's no way in a one quarterback league that that makes remote sense to me. But he, in you know, Mixon was a top 36 player at the time, right? In terms of any ADP. And Cousins was, what, top 20 quarterback, maybe, right? And that's in a start one, not even close. So I was like, this is, you know, I could basically do what this guy did to me, right? This other guy. And this is two totally different GMs, totally different leagues. I could say, you know, what are you, an effing idiot? And, you know, berate him and put it in the league message board and write about it on Twitter and, you know, write a blog post about it and flame the guy. Or I could say, I can just take the flip view of it. And what did that say about him? Well, first of all, it said he's probably way different than me. But there was probably some rational aspect to his thinking, right? Probably incorrect. But that offer came from someplace. That offer came from a theory, a strategy, one that I didn't agree with, obviously, but it came from someplace. And so instantly, the only thing that I could say was, is that he values quarterback production like as high as anyone that I've ever met in a start one quarterback league, right? I've literally found like the 99.9998 percentile of people that value quarterbacks in a start one league. Like, I have found the absolute gem of trading partners, right? Because I'm way different and there's a lot of spread to cover in there. So I found the guy, right? That's instantly what that offer said to me, because he's valuing quarterback very, very high and he's trying to buy Mixon, right? And or he's trying to buy Mixon. But the only way that he makes that offer is if he values quarterback insanely high. So I set, actually, in a perfect situation, right? Because I wasn't contending. And as the time broke, it was Russell Wilson had just played a Monday night football game. It was dramatic against the 49ers. And the entire game, they were talking about how he was an MVP caliber season, right? He was basically in the running for an MVP. And so I was like, this is great because I've got like a trump card, right? Like, I can sort of counter this. And so I countered and I said, let's just assume that he values quarterback at like the 99.9998 percentile, right? The absolute elite of quarterback valuations. And just assume that and offer that back to him. So I countered with Russell Wilson for Kirk Cousins, Daryl Henderson, and his 2020 first round rookie pick. All right, so this would have been 2019, right? Like I said, that's probably like November 2019. And again, he was projected as a top four pick, right? With I thought a pretty good shot of being the 101, right? I thought that was pretty reasonable. I had zero hope that it was going to be accepted, right? Zero hope, right? Because those things just don't happen to me. But I had a hunch that if I offered this back to him, it would reset the negotiations in a way that I was going to be able to capitalize, right? Because if you viewed Kirk Cousins that expensively, the gap between Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson is pretty massive, right? So I basically flipped it on its head. And so sure enough, he rejected it, like, again, almost instantaneously, but immediately countered. And so he immediately countered with, basically added a third, right? So my initial offer was Russell Wilson for Kirk Cousins, Daryl Henderson, and a first. His count and his counter was Russell Wilson and a third, a 2020 third round rookie pick for Kirk Cousins, Daryl Henderson, and a first. So he kept the same offer and just made me give back a third. Right. Standard dynasty practice. You see an offer, reject it, counter it with a third, get yourself an extra rookie pick. And I'm like, I will absolutely accommodate that trade. 100% accommodate that trade. Instant accept for me. Don't tinker. Don't do any of that. Just accept. And almost instantly, messages started popping up on the message board calling the guy an idiot. And I wasn't me, obviously. I don't want to burn a bridge. But I thought I got him, right? I mean, I thought that guy had a good deal. And I didn't know if he misunderstood the scoring or what. And so people start flaming him, saying, what a horrible trade. This is just a terrible trade. And I already knew what the answer was because I had the information, right? I knew his information spoke to me, right? His information told me a lot about him. And so people are flaming him. His response is, hey, listen, you know, a huge quarterback season, that's really valuable, right? That's locked in. You get lots of production out of them. You can really bank on them in your lineup, right? Long-term, it's stable, all these things, right? Exactly what I presume that he would say if he's valuing it at the 99.9998 percentile of quarterback valuation. It's exactly what he was going to say. And I knew he was going to say that because he accepted it. And I knew he was going to say that because that's what his offer spoke to me, right? The outrageous offer that would have otherwise been offensive was very, very valuable, right? So that's really the key lesson in trades and in anything, right? In all of these things. Now, I mentioned this in a prior podcast. I have a league that I, someone that I'm drafting with right now took Mixon really high, and I've got him in a different league, and that's going to be a trade. That's going to be a pivot opportunity for me. So I got to go hunt that out, and try and make that happen. But yeah, this is one of those scenarios where the information that you're given, right, no matter how you get it, right, whether it's an outrageous trade, whether it's trade bait, and one of the things with trade bait, I hate using trade bait just because you get low ball offers, but try and figure out what the theme is, right? Usually there's a theme, especially if it's multiple players, right? There's typically a theme, which is, oh, I'm trying to bail on guys that are old, or I'm rebuilding and trying to acquire young players and getting rid of all my old guys, or pushing all my young guys in for production, or all these guys missed in year one and I'm out, right? Like, there's usually some sort of method to the madness in terms of the trade bait. Use that, right? Use it. It's not just to say lowball offers, but that probably tells you what they are valuing or not valuing. And if you know what they're not valuing or what they're trying to accomplish, you can take it a step further and figure out what they would be wanting and offer that to them. Right? That's a key thing. Comments in GroupMe chats, right? That happens all the time. You know, the table talk. Table talk drives me crazy, especially when people are on the clock, right? But using it is highly valuable. Make a note of it. Say, all right, this person's in on so-and-so, or they're out on such and such a profile, or, you know, they hate aging wide receivers, right? So that might be a buying opportunity, or they're all on youth, right? That might be a sell opportunity to them, right? All of those things. Use that information, right? And even if you think it's outrageous, like, that's the perfect information to get. Even if you think the other person is outrageous, that's a high-value opportunity. So anytime you get a trade, you know, I'm not one of those people that always counters every trade, but think about what it's offering. Are they trying to buy one of my players? Are they trying to sell somebody else, right? Think about why, right? There might be news on a player, right? They might have had a big breakout game. Maybe they're trying to sell a breakout. And if I'm not buying the breakout, I'm just not buying the breakout, right? Maybe they're trying to buy one of my breakout guys, right? Maybe they're trying to buy low on one of my guys, right? Try and figure all those things out. What the trade is saying, right? It is speaking to you in words not written. Right? It is speaking to you. It is telling you information. Figure out what it is, right? And maybe it even takes, you know, I'm a big write it down guy. It's probably my day job, but that's just, you know, a lot of what we do is, you know, who sort of we are, and that's just kind of who I am. I write it down. Write it down, look at it, think about it, right? Talk it out loud. What is this saying, right? You know, player X and player Y for player Z and pick A. Right? What is this saying, right? What are they trying to do? Think about it. And then if you like the trade, take it, you know, whatever, right? If that, you know, if that's something you want to work around. If you don't like the trade, think about what it's saying to you and figure out how you can pivot, right? So those are really the trade techniques, and, you know, use that information and, you know, think about your team sort of in the build and the strategy you want, and use the information that you're given. So that'll be trade advice for this podcast. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.